Hello and welcome to this week's Gospel Reflection. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Advent is all about being ready for the Son of Man to come. Jesus Christ is going to come to us at Christmas, and we have to be ready for that. Jesus Christ is going to come at the hour of our death and at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. The best way to be prepared always is prayer and penance. We often talk about prayer, but sometimes when we use the word penance, people get confused. Penance should incline us to avoid sin in the future, to detest the sins that we've already committed, and very importantly, to make reparation for the sins that we have committed in the past. Everybody is obliged to do penance. There are three reasons why everybody, all of us, are required to do penance. First is out of justice. God is loving. God is good. God is holy. God is deserving of all of our love. God has a plan. And sometimes we commit sins. We commit grave sins. We offend God. And it is only right, it is only just when you offend somebody, when you harm somebody, that you do the best you can to repair the damage that you've done. Our God is all good. Our God is all holy. There is no way that any act that I do can make up for the sins that I have committed. So it is only right that I make reparation and do penance throughout my entire life. So out of justice. Second, we're Christians. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and He saved us through sacrifice and through suffering. Because we were baptized, we are configured to Christ, and we are called to share in Christ's sufferings for the sake of others, yes, but also so that we can be one with Jesus Christ. No servant is greater than his master. If our Lord suffered, we too are going to suffer. But in Christ, that suffering makes us one with God. Thirdly, we are all obliged to do penance out of charity. Charity for ourselves and charity towards our neighbors. When we commit sin, if it's a grave sin, there's eternal punishment. If it's a venial sin, there's temporal punishment. If I go to confession with a grave sin, my eternal punishment is removed, but there is still temporal punishment that remains. This temporal punishment is made up in purgatory. Again, this is something that is just and right. I have to make amends for my sins. I can do this on earth. It's better that I do this on earth. So by doing penance, I'm being charitable to myself because I'm getting rid of my purgatory. By doing penance, I'm also being charitable to myself because I'm making myself less likely to commit sin in the future because I'm calling to mind the evil that sin is and that I'm making reparations for it. Being charitable towards my neighbor. We hear from Our Lady of Fatima. She said to the children that many souls go to hell because there's nobody to pray or to do penance for them. So I can offer sacrifices. I can fast. I can sacrifice of my time to pray extra. I can eat food that I do not like. I can patiently endure trials for the salvation of another person. If they are already going to be saved, let's say I have a family member that I just deeply love and they're on their sickbed and they're receiving the sacraments. Well, if they're already going to be saved, I can be offering my sacrifices as an act of charity, that they persevere in the faith, that they obtain some favor that they're praying for. So these are reasons that we all should be doing penance throughout our entire lives. Now, with what spirit should we do them so that they're effective? We need to do all of our acts of penance in union with Jesus Christ. If we're flogging ourselves, if we're fasting to the point that we're skin and bones, and we're doing it out of pride or out of some sort of like arm wrestling and struggle for self-mastery, although there might be some virtue in self-mastery, we're not gaining the full amount of grace. We're not really doing it in a virtuous way that's going to configure us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. So before you do any sacrifice, before you do any act of penance, call to mind the suffering of Jesus Christ. People will often ask me, Gabriel, how do I fast out of love for God? How can I offer some act as a sacrifice? It's very simple. How do you give somebody a gift card? You simply put their name on it and you hand it to them. So the same way, when it comes to offering some sacrifice, all you have to do is say, Lord, this is for you. And sometimes you don't even have to use words. Just call to mind that Christ is present, and if you're denying your will, move forward in a spirit that is in union with Jesus' suffering, Jesus' act of sacrifice on the cross. So we need to do this in union with God. Before you do anything, just call to mind the presence of your loving Savior, Jesus Christ. You can simply say, Jesus, this is all for you, or to Jesus through Mary. One of these pious sayings is sufficient. We should also do whatever sacrifice it is, lovingly and humbly. Love is what configures us to Jesus Christ. This is how we can really be united, and this is how we can turn something that is unpleasant to something that is beautiful and holy. Now, what are some examples of things that I can do? Well, one of the main ways that we often overlook is patient enduring of trials. Sicknesses come, humiliations come, accidents happen, cars break down, computers break. We should accept all of these as coming from the hand of God for our good. We often forget that sometimes bad things happen. That's true, they're going to happen. But God permits it. Why does He permit it? For our good. We might not realize it, but this could be our way of getting out of purgatory. So anything bad that happens, accept it lovingly out of love for God as a patient enduring of your trials. This will get rid of your purgatory. This will help you to grow in virtue. This will configure you to Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus offered everything that He suffered throughout His entire life, all of the obedience to God the Father, all the obedience to Blessed Virgin Mary, all the obedience to Saint Joseph. This was Him uniting His will, submitting His will to the will of God. On the cross came, He embraced it. And what you'll find is, yes, in the beginning, this is going to be repulsive. It's against our nature to suffer humiliations. We question, we wonder why. But when we make it our objective, okay, I'm going to go at this head first, it becomes lighter, especially when you call upon the Virgin Mary, when you call upon Jesus, and you're there and you're carrying the cross together. Your suffering and your sacrifice takes on great meaning. Number one, patient endurance of trials, especially joyfully as best as you can, lovingly as best as you can, accepting any trial you receive as it's coming from the hand of God out of love for you, and your response is love and patience. Next, second, you should do the duties of your state in life and be faithful to them, and to the best of your ability, do them with great love. I'm a father, you might be a student, you might be a mother, you might be a priest, you might be a teacher. Whatever duties involve, do them with great love. If you're a father and you have to change the baby's diapers, you're so repulsed that you don't want to deal with the poop of the baby, look at it and say, here I come, Jesus, and do it with great love. This is helping you grow in holiness. It's helping you be configured to Jesus Christ. It's making atonement for your sins, and you're fulfilling your vocation. So it's really a win-win. You're going to have to do these things anyways. You might as well allow them to make you holy. If you're a student, you don't want to study, you want to play video games, you want to be on social media, say, no, I'm going to go follow the cross. Jesus said very often, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Okay, we know where God is calling us. An undeniable aspect of doing penance is fasting. Fasting is very good for the soul. It's also good at strengthening us. So A lot of times the sins that we commit have to do because of our lack of willpower, our giving in to our passions. So by controlling the way we eat, and I'm not going to give you specific fasting tips in this video. We'll have a video completely dedicated to fasting, but you need to be doing something involving the food on a regular basis, consistently. Precisely because to control the appetite is a great sacrifice. We want to eat food. Food is good for us if we eat it in moderation and we eat things that are good. And by not eating those, it helps the soul and it adds that added benefit of strengthening us for future temptations that we might endure. Another form of penance that is often overlooked is almsgiving. So almsgiving has two aspects. It's charitable. I'm doing some good for another person. When I give a pair of shoes, when I give a can from the pantry, when I give $2 out of my wallet, very charitable. The part that most of us often overlook and how almsgiving really digs deep into the penitential aspect and makes great progress in my spiritual life is the sacrificial nature of almsgiving, the part that we kind of avoid, right? So I give a pair of shoes that I no longer use. I give green beans or some sort of corn or vegetable from my pantry that I really don't want to eat. I give $2 out of my wallet because I have $2 to spare and it really won't hurt me. Well, when I give, yeah, in that case, it's still charitable. But what I'm lacking is that sacrificial nature where it kind of hurts. So to make this very reparative, give when it hurts. Pull out the 20 when you really only feel comfortable giving the 2. Give them your best cans of food. There are other forms of penance. There are things like wearing hair shirts. There's things like wearing a cilice. All of these other forms of penance, I'm going to encourage you to discuss with a good spiritual director. The things that I'm mentioning in this video are things that all people can do regardless of your age or state in life. Now, I'm going to give you 2 other tips before we conclude. Again, things that we can all do. I often hear from people, well, I am sick or I am elderly and I can't fast in the traditional ways. What do I do? At every meal, we can eat something we don't like or we can deny ourselves some food that we can legitimately have that we do like. Everybody can do that. If you love hamburgers and you hate onions, put some onions on the burger. Force yourself to eat a jalapeno. Doing this at every meal helps us to control the appetite and it is a sacrifice and it kind of keeps us on guard. If you love everything that is being served to you and you're at a friend's house and they say, here you go, well, deny yourself a cookie. Deny yourself something that is delicious that you want. Everybody can do this. I encourage you to do this at every meal. I understand if you don't do this on special feast days. Another thing that we are all called to do as an act of penance. Every Friday is a day of penance. Now, bishops' conferences have made this lax. What do I mean? Well, it used to be that every Friday, regardless of what time of the year it was, every Friday, Catholics would abstain from meat. Now, they have lightened that load and said, well, you can do some other form of penance. And what happens naturally is when you lighten it up, then people end up not doing any penance whatsoever. So some options for you, because you must do some penance on Friday. Option number one, go ahead and make it a day where you don't eat meat regularly, regardless of what your circumstance is. No meat on Friday. That's one way. If you want to branch out and try other forms of penances, or you know that you have a special dinner, that somebody's inviting you over to their home, they're making meat, and it would be rude for you to reject that food. I understand. So do something else. Know in advance, I'm going to be eating dinner at 7 o'clock with family or friends. And if you can, perhaps fast all day until 7 o'clock. If that's something that you can't do, whatever it is, pick a penance. I want to give you a backup penance. What do I mean? Why do we need a backup penance? Because sometimes you'll be going in there, you'll be like, I'm not going to eat until 3 p.m. today. It's Friday, it's my penance. And you fall. And then it turns out that you ate meat too. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I failed. I didn't do any penance whatsoever. And next thing you know, you never do penance on Friday ever again. So I want to give you a backup penance that anybody can do at any time of the day, especially at night. So have this in your mind. If it's 10 p.m. on Friday night, you've done no penances. Your backup penance is a penitential rosary or a penitential chaplet of divine mercy. Why penitential? Again, remember, anytime you do penance, you got to call to mind Christ. So by having your arms outstretched while praying the rosary, having your arms outstretched while praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you're thinking of Christ on the cross. After a few moments, after the first or second decade, maybe the third decade, your arms are going to start to hurt. It's not causing you any physical harm, but the pain is going to be there, and you're going to have to deny yourself and have self-control, and you're going to have to remember Christ on the cross, and you're going to have to continue praying anyways. This is a good backup penance that anybody can do, that nobody has to see you doing. It can be private, and I find that it's very effective, especially when you're trying to meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Fridays. My prayer for you is that through prayer and penance, you will be ready for the coming of the Lord. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you next week.